This is Missy Martinez Stone, and you're listening to The Centered Podcast, where we have unifying conversations on the divisive subject of abortion. Hello and welcome to The Centered Podcast. I'm your host, Missy Martinez Stone. And today we are talking to a well-known and well-loved member of the pro-life movement because he keeps us all caffeinated, the founder of 7 Weeks Coffee, and who also happens to be a board member of the Center for Client Safety. It's Anton Tresick.
Hey, Missy. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this for a long time because I know we've been talking about this podcast for a long time and you were always, you know, on my short list of people to have as soon as we started interviewing. Let's start from the beginning. You have this amazing business that you built from the ground up. Tell me how you came up with this idea of a pro-life coffee company. And specifically, how you chose the name 7 Weeks Coffee.
Yeah, so it all started September of 2021. I had always had a passion for the pro-life movement, and I love coffee, and I wanted to start a business. So all those things came together, and it was 2 weeks after I got married. I called my wife, and I said, hey, I have this idea to start a pro-life coffee company. What do you think? And she definitely was, you know, caught off guard because, you know, we just got married and, you know, getting settled into life and the new routine. But I told her this idea that I wanted to start a pro-life coffee company with the mission to support pregnancy care centers and pro-life organizations. So the name, it's funny because when I told her the idea, she inspired the name and she asked the question, when is a baby the size of a coffee bean? So I look it up. At 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. At the same time, a heartbeat's detected under ultrasound. And that's how we got the name 7 Weeks Coffee. And the mission and the vision all came together right at the beginning because I knew I wanted to support local pregnancy care centers. And as you know, and I'm sure people listening to this know, pregnancy care centers provide ultrasound services to moms. So that's why the heartbeat's in our logo. That's how we get the name 7 Weeks Coffee.
Yeah. I love that. I didn't put that together. I think until you told me maybe a couple months ago. But it just makes perfect sense. And I love the visual, having that really tangible visual of the tiny coffee bean. You know, it's precious. It's precious. I love it. Your wife has great ideas.
So, yeah, she helped inspire the name. So I definitely owe her a lot of credit to this, you know.
Well, we also have too many things in common, which is we both, you know, started new ventures during a global pandemic. So you know, that comes with unique hurdles and, you know, starting a business from the ground is already hard in and of itself. And then you add on to that, doing it during a global pandemic. But the thing that we have both been able to do, you with 7 Weeks Coffee and us with the Center for Client Safety, is that we've grown very quickly in the last few years, despite starting at, you know, not the most opportune time. And I know you have become a pretty well-known figure in the pro-life movement. Like if I ever tell people, the 7 Weeks Coffee guy is on our board, they immediately know who I'm talking about because you are at every conference, you are connecting with people. So what do you think contributed to your success in being able to grow 7 Weeks Coffee, especially in the context that you started it? You know, when things are really hard.
Yeah. It's funny. So timing can be fortuitous and it also can, you know, be a lot of different things affect it. But for us, I think there's a few things. One, there was a clear need for businesses to come alongside, especially pro-life values, but even like Christian values or maybe more conservative values. Cause when we got started in 2021, it was right when there was a lot of like huge activism at giant corporations like the Target stuff, and just like these really big, you know, stories in the news where millions of consumers got alienated right away. And so there was clearly a need, to have businesses that align with, you know, people's shared values, especially pro-life values. So that was a huge part of it. Secondly, it's our mission. I believe, I think, you know, good businesses and good missions should be transparent. They should be open, and they should present what they're doing just clearly to the consumer. I think that's what we try to do, which is for us is donate 10% of every sale to pregnancy care centers across the nation. So when we got started, that was the offer. We were like, we're going to provide and source the best coffee that, you know, is much better than your average cup of Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. And we're going to have this amazing impact with it. So consumers really adapted to us quickly. In that first month, we sold $8,000 worth of coffee and dropped off our check for $800. We took a picture of it. We posted it. We said, here's the impact you had because you drank our coffee.
Right.
And it just grew from there contagiously. You know, now we've been able to raise over $350,000, support over 850 centers. All that is just because we have this same exact mission, staying true to what we started with, presenting consumers with like, hey, we're going to be an alternative for you. If you're pro-life and love coffee, you know, consider giving us the try. And that really sparked a lot of initial growth and support.
Yeah. The thing that sticks out to me is you said, you know, you're meeting a specific need. Like you looked at the market and you said, there is a gap, which is essentially what Center for Client Safety did too. We looked at the movement and we said, there's a gap. And when you are filling such a tangible need, it doesn't matter that there's a global pandemic. It doesn't matter that the economy is hard. When you are meeting such a specific need, I think things are just going to naturally grow. Which that comes down to the business acumen of being able to identify what those needs are. Because, you know, when we started, I said, I'm not interested in just starting another pro-life organization for the sake of starting a pro-life organization. I was, I was very, very adamant that we were only going to do this if we were actually solving a problem. I didn't want to be redundant. If someone was already doing it and doing it well, then more power to you, go do it. But then we did kind of an audit of the movement and what services were being offered, we saw that gap. And I feel like you had a similar approach of, you know, you looked at the movement. Didn't you like Google pro-life coffee?
Yeah, I did. So when I had the idea, I literally Googled pro-life coffee thinking there'd be like something there or someone marketing in this way, and nothing came up. I was literally shocked. And it's like, how is there no one doing this? And really what I had, the idea was like, how is there no one using, you know, coffee as a tool to help and support the pro-life movement, which is what we've really turned into. Like we are on a mission to fund the pro-life movement one cup of coffee at a time. Like that's what our mission has turned into. And so we're not asking for like for donations. We're saying, if you just drink our coffee, we'll make this impact. And
it's funny. Anyway.
You're drinking coffee anyway. So why not, you know, drink Severin's coffee?
Why not do coffee that's making, I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so important. And that's why I love being a part of Center for Client Safety too, is like, it's important to find needs, like be specific of what those are. But once you fill those gaps, it's amazing how much, you know, people realize that gap is there and they come and support and come alongside and press into it. So I can definitely relate with that.
Yeah. So that leads me right into my next question. I'm glad you said that, because we met at the Sidewalk Advocates for Life conference last year. We love working with Sidewalk Advocates. We sponsored that conference and I believe you did as well. You know, you're at every conference, right? And our mutual friend, Allison Howardson-DeFonde, who's our board chair, knew we were both there and texted us separately and said, you guys need to connect. And we had a great conversation. And then, you know, 3 months later, I roped you into being a board member. But tell me, you know, in those initial conversations and then in your decisions to join as a board, like what was it about the Center for Client Safety that resonated with you that made you want to, I mean, you're busy, you've got a lot going on, you're running this big company. What made you want to invest your time and expertise in our work?
Yeah, well, it's funny because it goes back to what we talked about. It's like just relating to that startup feel. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of innovation and new ideas, especially within the pro-life space. And I'd say both of our organizations are kind of innovative in the pro-life space. Mm-hmm. And so when we got to meet and hear your story, and for me, it was like I've been around pro-life stuff for a couple years now. I've pretty much heard I love all the organizations out there, but I haven't heard someone doing what you guys were doing. So that's what was so intriguing. It's like, okay, this is a unique way to, you know, help defend life and in investigating, reporting, and what you guys are doing at Center for Client Safety. So I just was drawn into that aspect of it's new, it's innovative. And yeah, I'm happy, you know, I'm really excited to be a part of it because I think there's a huge future and there's an even larger of a need that we're discovering, obviously, as we have learned more and more that there's a lot more need of enforcement and help in the, you know, abortion realm. So I love the innovation for sure.
Yeah. So we, you know, our annual report came out two or three months ago and the title of it was Pro-Life Innovation in a Post-Roe World because, you know, now more than ever with a completely different landscape that we've had for 50 years, we have to innovate. We have to change our strategy. You know, what worked in a world where Roe versus Wade was the law of the land, just simply a lot of these strategies just don't work anymore because it overturning Roe versus Wade just changed so many factors. And I think the pro-life movement as a whole is really having to grapple with that change and adjust. And it's hard. We're having a lot of hard conversations. But really, our big push this year is even having a webinar tonight with our other board member, John Gibson, about being innovative, being bold, brave, and innovative, and why you need those innovative strategies now more than ever. And I think that's something that I love about what we do. I love that about what you do is that it's creative thinking. It's looking at, okay, where are we? What are we doing? How do we creatively solve these problems? And I think innovative is the word for 2023.
You know, I've realized, Missy, I think good businesses or good startups, like they make roles or tasks easier. They simplify a solution or they're a painkiller essentially. So for you guys, it's, you know, for Center for Client Safety, you are helping solve a pain point in the movement. And that, you know, everyone flocks to that. For us, it's, you know, there's a pain point in fundraising and financial support. So we donate to hundreds of centers. So it's a no-brainer for organizations, pro-life organizations to partner with us because we're solving a pain point. But I think that's a great thing. I mean, if anyone's listening and thinking of starting an organization, find something that solves a pain point. Yes. And usually you're sitting on a winning idea.
Yeah. I honestly, I thought you were going to say, we are solving the pain point of like caffeine headaches of like
that too.
Waking up tired. And your coffee is just showing up at your door. You don't have to think about it. But your answer was yes, was much better. everybody, yes. The pain point is funding, is, you know, all of these amazing missions. We are always looking for supporters. We need partners, and you provide that, and that's great. I want to specifically kind of move more into the overarching like theme of this podcast, and that is, you know, connecting, it's unifying, it's building bridges. And after getting to know you over the last couple of months, I can confidently say that you are a connector. You are constantly networking and building relationships. You have a very engaging and welcoming affect. And I mean, you don't grow a company like you did without connecting with people. And if I'm not mistaken, your background is in like marketing and communication, which is all about engaging people and bringing people in. So give us some ideas of how you make sure that you are connecting with the people that you're meeting and selling your coffee to.
Yeah, I think first of all, it starts with a personal conviction and personal viewpoints. I call it a worldview. You can start a business for a lot of different reasons, for money, for fame, for, you know, independence. But the most important thing is to do something you personally believe in. Right. And once you have that conviction, you're really going to be able to genuinely build relationships. And so for us, I mean, we go to, you know, 7-8 conferences a year. You know, we travel a lot. We're always meeting with people because it's our joy. It's our pleasure to meet and connect with people in the pro-life space. It's something I enjoy doing, is talking with people, getting to know people personally. And that's really where it starts. But you have that personal conviction and worldview. For me, it's, you know, wanting to help defend life and be a resource for that and connect people within the pro-life space. I think that's something I'm just naturally gifted at, just connecting people and just building relationships. But it just starts with a personal, you know, conviction. And once you have that, it's kind of easy in the sense, because you genuinely want to get to know people. You genuinely want to hear their story. And that's what we definitely need more of in the pro-life space. We need unity in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was having a kind of a funny conversation with some other pro-life leaders, and we were all kind of joking about like being a little more introverted, you know, we were all leaders of our prospective organizations, but it's not exactly like where we thrive. Like, we thrive and when we're behind the scenes, and that everybody was always so surprised to find out that we are more introverted and don't like being in the spotlight. And it's harder to be a little more social and connecting, because when you get us talking about the thing that we are passionate about, we can talk all day. You know, and so I see that in our own work, is like, when people see the passion of our team, the passion of our board, it's infectious, you know, and people like being a part of something that is meaningful and making a difference, you know, when you can clearly lay out like, this is the problem and this is how we are solving it, you know, people like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you're mostly talking about coffee, right? Which pretty much everyone likes. Unless you are a unicorn like my husband, who does not drink coffee. He drinks tea, which is fine. We do not judge him, but he does not like the taste of coffee.
I'll judge him a little bit.
I know, you can judge him a little bit. So you're talking mostly about coffee, again, which everyone likes. However, the subject of abortion is notoriously divisive. And I said in our first episode, it brings out our strongest feelings, our deepest grief, our hottest anger, like truly our worst selves. So how do we, as a movement, as individuals in this movement, overcome like this huge emotional barrier and still connect with people?
Yeah. So there's a few things to that. One, there is always going to be some type of friction there, right? There's always those who will intentionally, you know, fight, argue, no matter what. So I think it's acknowledging that'll always be a part of it. But there's a huge chunk in the middle that are just undecided or unsure or haven't really thought it through. And so that's where I think it's incredibly important to find the way to approach. So like, you could think of middle ground as an example, but I'd say it's more of a way to approach a conversation, how to ask certain questions, how to get people thinking about it. I don't think necessarily those who or haven't really formed an opinion, it's right to just berate them or to yell at them or to, you know, try to, you know, basically show any graphic image that you can to scare them into it. You want people to come to a rational belief and a personal conviction on it. And so, yeah, I like starting from like a human rights perspective. Like, when do you believe, you know, life begins? You know, do you believe it's intentionally wrong to take the life of an innocent human being?
Right.
Then walk that back. When do you believe that life, your life began? Or do you have kids? I think that's a great question, asking if someone has children. Just like, just bringing people to the humanity of obviously the child in the womb is where I'd like to, you know, phrase the conversation. And then just advocate from like that human rights perspective, or just like, I believe that like you are special. You're divinely created. Like, you have worth. And I don't believe that your life should be optional. I believe you have a right to your own life. And that's where a really good middle ground to start from. So I think anyone in the pro-life space, I think one of the most important things is just finding your way to approach the conversation with people who, you know, haven't, you know, come to the same pro-life worldview as ours. And obviously it's hard, but I think that's the way we win people over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at Student Life America for about 6 years, and mm-hmm. part of my job, you know, I was going on these campuses, and the whole point was to get people in conversations about abortion. And yeah. I was in countless situations where I was talking to somebody who did not agree with me on abortion. And sometimes it was hostile, mm-hmm. But sometimes it was more like, you know, the genuinely inquisitive. But I found like always trying to take the position of, I'm not trying to defend myself or my views, but I was more of like offering them, and especially focusing on things that we agree on. Like, I think what you're saying is like the human rights, the humanity. I would be like, this is hard. Like, this is a complicated subject. Like, it is devastating when women feel powerless, because it's affirming what they feel and what's driving them to take these more, you know, pro-abortion views. They're just going the opposite direction, right? Whereas we go this way, they go that way. But like, we both agree, like, this is hard and complicated, and it's devastating for women to feel powerless. So it's affirming what they feel, but then it also like makes me human to them. You know, like when they go like, oh, this isn't like a cold, heartless pro-lifer who doesn't care. And I'm sincere in what I'm sharing. I'm not sharing it because I know like it's a good apologetics tool. You know, I think people can sense my sincerity, and like that goes a really long way. But it really was like, how can we bring our position to them, like bring your worldview, bring this humanity, ask these questions in a way that sparks genuine conversation and an inquisitive nature, as opposed to just defend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's really about sparking the inner conscious of someone to think about it, to stop. And again, when you're trying to convince someone, you're not going to get there by convincing them. You're going to get there by having them come to an understanding, a viewpoint personally.
Right.
And, you know, there's a tactfulness to it for sure. And then like the other side of it, I always will say this, there's always going to be a group that are vehemently opposed to life. Like, they will defend abortion 24/7 on demand. And that's just a part of culture. You know, I think it's part of a fallen world. It's a broken heart. And I think that's just like, where personal resilience is important as well.
Yeah.
You're not going to convince everyone. That's also part of it.
Yeah. And honestly, like, even now I pick my battles, you know. It's like, I knew when I was talking to the person who was like genuinely trying to figure out what they believe and consider versus when I was talking to the crusader who was just trying to make a point and wasn't actually interested. Like, you know who those people are. And honestly, I would kind of just like let the crusader go and would focus my time on like, are you genuinely curious? And like, let's have a conversation. You know, those are the ones that I found were the most productive, you know, because there are some people.
Yeah. Like, you have to pick your battles in a sense.
Yeah.
You can't win every heart and mind, and nor should you. I think that's, you know, just the bigger picture of, you know, hopefully as a culture, as we start to win over the culture and the pro-life worldview over time, it will phase out and, you know, hopefully just be a cultural norm to support life.
Yeah.
That'll be a good thing.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully we get to the point where abortion is obsolete. You know, that's my hope, is that we build a culture of life that is so supportive of families and pregnant and parenting mothers, and, you know, that like, it, no woman ever feels the need, right? But there's a lot of stuff we got to do to get there. And then that's where, again, we can find things that maybe, you know, we agree on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My hope is that you know, as we have more conversations and bring people onto this podcast, it just inspires that connection, that instead of villainizing everybody or, you know, making the people who are genuinely trying to figure out what they believe like the bad guys, like let's engage in productive, helpful conversation.
You know? Absolutely. I like to see it as incrementalism. Like yes. I'm 100% pro-life. I will take any victory in that marches us towards a more pro-life worldview.
Yes.
And I think that's an important thing.
Yes. Love it. I love it. I've never thought about it because I think of incrementalism in the sense of like legislation, but you're totally mm-hmm. right. Like this is almost like cultural incrementalism, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a part of it. I think it's from policy. So from legislative policy to,
yeah.
you know, how we, you know, win people over, like, I want to advance the, you know, the flag in the right direction here. And
yeah.
We take whatever victory we can and keep moving on.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. So before we get into the last step, I do want to make sure we take a chance to highlight the amazing work that 7 Weeks does to support pro-life organizations. So you said you donated what, $50,000.
Yeah.
How many pregnancy centers and pro-life organizations?
There's, I think there's over 850 that are signed up to receive or partner with us at this point.
So tell me about the partnership program.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. So any pro-life organization can sign up. It's on our website under the Partner With Us tab at the bottom. It explains more how it works if you are a pro-life organization or a pregnancy center, but essentially is it gives you a cash grant during the month of your choosing. It also gives you access to our affiliate program where you can share with friends and family, and 15% of every sale goes back to your organization. So what's really cool is a lot of local centers share this with their friends and family. Yeah. They drink coffee and they know that their local coffee order is not just their coffee order is not just supporting life, it's supporting life at their local center. So it's pretty right. powerful, and it's a really good way to engage your local community. So any pro-life organization can sign up and join us. We also give a lot of free coffee away for gifts, raffles.
Right. That's a great idea. Yes.
Yeah. We like to give it away too, because people love it as a gift. So
everybody wants a bag of coffee. I mean, that's just like so simple. It's so simple. So the Center for Client Safety, we have our partnership link. We put our link in the show notes. So you ever want to purchase, if you're listening and you want to purchase coffee Absolutely. And want 15% of the sale to go to us, you can do that. So you can look in our show notes for that. But I just think that's such an easy way for these pregnancy centers, pro-life organizations. Like I said, they're buying coffee anyway. They're drinking coffee anyway. Why not accomplish two things at once?
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, get your coffee and then also donate to a local life-saving organization of your choice.
Absolutely. Drink coffee, save lives. That's the goal.
I love that. Wait, so your official like mission is to fund the pro-life movement one cup of coffee at a time?
Yeah, I'd say that's kind of our vision statement.
Vision. Okay.
Yeah.
I love mm-hmm. that. I love it. So what I'm trying to think. So what, How many cups of coffee do we need to sell?
A lot more. We're just getting started.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
What's your goal for next year? So this year, what are you trying to hit this year?
Yeah, I think we'd like to. So I think we'd like to get close to over $500,000 this year alone donated. So we'll be close to hopefully just in over a year.
Yeah.
Closing on that $1 million donated, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
And we'll have a celebration for that.
Yeah.
If we get there.
So where can people find you? You've got, I know you mentioned you were just in Utah.
Yeah, we went to Heartbeat International.
Yeah. I'm assuming you got lots of.
It was great. Met a ton of groups. We're going to other pro-life conferences. We'll be at the Celebration for Life weekend. We'll be at CareNet. We'll be at a few more. But anyone can order coffee just on our website, 7 Weeks yeah. Coffee.
So you'll be there mm-hmm. in June. We'll be there in June.
Great.
We're actually sponsors of the National Life. What is it? Oh, I can't even say it. National
Celebration of Life. Yeah.
Celebration Life. Yeah. I know I'm a sponsor and I can't even say the name of the the conference. So myself and Gavin will be there. I'm actually speaking on the main stage on Friday. on partnerships of all things. Are you sensing a theme of what people like me to talk about? Something that's desperately needed in the pro-life movement. Me and Lauren and I think Jarrell are speaking on Friday afternoon on the main stage. So if you're interested in knowing more about 7 Weeks Coffee, you're going to be there. They can come see you. What are they getting when they come see you at your booth?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a booth. We'll be selling coffee. We're serving it. If you're coming to the dinner, the gala, we'll be serving it for all the guests there. So we're doing that. Love to meet you. Talk more about, if you're a pro-life organization supporting you guys with our partnership program. And just meeting people and networking and providing some good coffee.
Yeah. So I know registration is open, but I know it's filling up really quickly. I think some of the hotel blocks are already starting to sell out.
Oh, great.
So I know I'm really excited because it's like the weekend anniversary of Dobbs, the Dobbs decision. And so many of the national groups are really looking at making this like our big celebration pro-life weekend of the year. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people are going to be there. So if you're listening and you haven't registered yet and you want to go, make sure you go to celebratelifeconference.com to register. And again, I think it's filling up very quickly. So,
yeah, excited to be there.
Yeah, I'm really excited. All right. Before we close out, we are doing a segment that with all of our guests called Off the Clock. I answered my own question last week and talked about gardening. I want to know what you're doing when you're not building a successful coffee company or, helping lead Center for Client Safety as a board member. So what is your favorite hobby right now?
Yeah, well, I'll start with this. This is something that's a really good challenge for me because starting at your own company is very time consuming and I work from home in our spare bedroom. So quite literally my life can be dedicated to my job, which is, right. I'm sure you can relate.
I don't know what that's like at all. And what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's easy to close your laptop. No, it's not. It's hard to do that. And something I'm definitely working on. And so for me, I really try to prioritize closing my laptop around 5 o'clock. I do a few things. I love to go on walks with my wife around our pond. We play with our dog outside. And I'm a big golfer. So I try to play golf at least once a week, get out there.
That's right.
I used to play. Yeah, I played competitively growing up. It's always been a passion of mine. And it's nice because I've enjoyed it just unplugging. It's like one of the one things I can just put my phone away, unplug, get outside, get some sunshine in your eyes. Yeah, basically anything outside is what you want to do because that's my advice for everyone else. If you need some looking for some hobby, just pick something outside because that's the best for your health.
Yes. That's why I pick gardening because it gets me out.
There you go. That's good.
I'm touching the ground. I'm in the dirt. It's grounding me. It's, giving me,
absolutely.
Things, so I love that. My dad and my brother are big golfers. So I grew up I drove the golf cart. My dad did try one time to get me into like a golf class when I was in junior high. Cause he was like, please, like I would love for you to, and I was like, no, it's not for me, man. but I would happily drive the cart around and just sit in the sunshine.
It's fun. Yeah, it is. It's relaxing. Yeah. No, I totally hear you. It's definitely great. It's always been a passion of mine and, it's a great way to just unwind, unpack, and recharge. I think that's important. I read a story a while ago. It's like some book on like just wisdom. And it was the story on the starving baker. So the guy was always feeding people. So he had a bake shop. He was always feeding. Everyone would get full, but he was starving, behind the counter. And, that's easy to do when you're doing your own business or kind of on your own. So
absolutely
make sure you get fed.
Yeah. We have, it's kind of stumble on a family hobby together that's a little kind of adjacent to that is frisbee golf.
Nice.
So there's a frisbee golf course actually right next to a regular golf course, about 15 minutes. And Goldie, my daughter, she's 3 and a half, loves to go with us. And she just traipses around the woods. It's like it's a kind of in a wooded area. And she collects acorns and, all kinds of things while Aaron and I are throwing frisbees. But we always have to stop when it comes up against the golf course because she wants to see the golfers. She loves watching them like actually hit the ball. But that has been really fun because it gets us outside as a family. And Aaron and I are able to do something, you know, fun, a little competitive. And then go. Goldie just, you know, loves exploring in the woods and digging in the dirt. So we did that on Sunday. And it was very fun. It was very good.
That's awesome. That's important.
So maybe that's your next one. After regular golf, and go play frisbee golf.
Play some frisbee golf. I'll check it out.
All right. Well, that is it for today. Thank you, Anton, so much for joining me and for all you've done to get the word out about Center for Client Safety and for, you know, having this amazing idea to start a pro-life coffee company. I know so many people appreciate your work and have appreciated the donations that you have allowed them to have. I mean, I know it's making a huge impact. So thank you so much for joining me today and for being on the leadership team of the Center for Client Safety.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's a privilege to be a part of the team, and can't wait to see what happens throughout the years as we both grow.
All right, coming up, we will have our very own Vice President of Investigations, Christine Smith. Our followers don't get to see her often because she's busy investigating abortion facilities, writing complaints, chasing down bureaucrats, but I get to work with her every day and can confidently say she is a force. She'll give us an inside look about what goes into an investigation, and you absolutely won't want to miss it. For more information on the amazing work of the Center for Client Safety, go to centerforclientsafety.org, or you can visit us on socials at Center for Client Safety. You can also find me on socials at Missy Martinez Stone. Anton, where can they find you on socials?
Yeah, so just our business page is at 7 Weeks Coffee. You can find us there for any social media you're on. We're at 7 Weeks Coffee.
That's great. All right. See you next time.